Thanks for calling Toyota. This is Jan.
I just adopted a new best friend, and I'm looking for a Toyota so we can make the most out of summer.
With a new RAV4, you can take your pup for a drive up the coast. You can take a Prius to the park, or you can take a Tundra to kayak at a remote lake.
One problem, Jan.
Oh?
My new best friend's a cat.
Your summer starts here, but it all ends June 3rd. Toyota, let's go places. Dealer inventory may vary. See your participating Toyota dealer for details.
Visit your Front Range Toyota stores today. Toyota, let's go places.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
Happy Saturday, everybody. Welcome to the show in which a couple of Serbians talk about the gold rush, the sound of music, singing in the rain, the best years of our lives, modern times, 12 angry men, the meaning of life, but mostly the Denver Nuggets. Welcome to the Serbian Corner. In case you thought I finally suffered a stroke and began saying random words during the intro, we have a special basketball meets movies episode with a simple title, Blockbuster Nuggets. My name is Miroslav Ciuk. I grew up in the time when watching Superman, Star Wars, or Back to the Future was viable only during winter holidays because that's when the TV, and that's singular, in your house, would only show them. This is episode number 42 of the Serbian Corner, or episode number 2 of the second season of the Serbian Corner, but we're not going to run through our usual segments. Instead, we're going to recap the first half of the season for all of the Nuggets with significant minutes by comparing them to the characters from famous movies. If we get some time at the end, we'll finish off with a bit of Nuggets slash movies trivia. Before I invite my guests for today, I wanted to do a quick scan on where the Nuggets are right now. They have won 16 out of last 18 games, including the last 9. So this series will hopefully continue running. They have definitely matured. Last night, they have beaten the Pacers without Nikola Jokic, but nothing changed in their approach. They still played their brand of basketball, a beautiful game, as we like to call it. Everybody jumped into slightly different roles and excelled in them, with a caveat that it was the Pacers without Haliburton on the other end, so let's not get crazy. No need to analyze their net rating and such stuff for the last month and a half. When you win most games in the league in a certain time span, of course you're going to crush it in most metrics. I just want to pour a glass of water on our red-hot takes about them at this moment, since it is fair to account for playing a lot of home games and also having more than one opponent coming to Denver with a white flag, resting a lot of their players, or just having bad injury luck compared to the Nuggets, who finally got mostly healthy. We now have not one, but two non-Jokic Nuggets with the triple-double this season since Jamal joined Bruce Brown last night on that list, which is pretty amazing when you think about it for the last 8 seasons of not having such players. The Nuggets are deep, maybe not in a way that their 9th or 10th guy is equally good as the guy in front of him in the pecking order, but in a way that I feel good when any Nugget steps on the court. And I think we've had never had so many really playable guys. But that's not a surprise. This is what we've been talking from the beginning of this season. Jamal had an awesome game last night. He was literally like a mini Jokic. He played so with a lot of poise. He was really determined to play the right way. He could have just had 30 shots last night because he was on fire. But instead, he chose to be the playmaker for the team. And I just want to see that continue, even with Jokic back. I still need to see him being consistent game to game and quarter to quarter, for a prolonged period of time. And I'm pretty sure he'll get there. On the other hand, Michael Porter has a sneaky great season so far. He is a de facto fourth guy right now on the team, but it is impressive how bought in he is. He is really playing the right way, what we call the right way. It's the winning way is the right way, but what I want to say is he's not thirsty for his shots. He knows he can give away the ball because that his team will find him again. And of course, when he's on fire, he knows Jokic will just find him and he'll put a 40-point game before too long. On the other hand, Aaron Gordon, as Bill Simmons said last week on the Low Post, Aaron Gordon is Nikola's new favorite toy. Nikola still explores all the wonderful ways he can use a super smart guy in a super athletic body. KCP, Bruce Brown, they're just the dream fits. I don't know if I can say anything more about those two guys. I just want to see them on the Nuggets forever, even though that might not be possible with Bruce Brown and his contract. Bones is a walking arson crime. Give him a sliver of daylight and he's going to burn the opposing team to the ground. Yes, he has had some subpar shooting nights, but on the other hand, he's been doing the other stuff pretty well. So I'm really happy with his development this season as well. Zeke is finally here to stay, showing a lot of good stuff on both ends of the court. And Vlatko, yeah, I know he's injured right now, but he's an eighth guy of my dreams, doing everything the right way. You just cannot get wrong with playing Vlatko. And we have Jeff Green back on the court. He's ready to contribute. He already had a pretty good game against Indiana. We have Christian Brown that uses every opportunity he gets to play pretty good. And even DeAndre Jordan, he won me over. All the Nuggets are good. One more home game versus the Thunder, and then the schedule will get a lot tougher, but I'm looking forward to it. Bring it on, NBA. Okay, that's enough ranting. Time is to bring our first guest. He is Jordan Scott. You know him from Nuggets Twitter. He is a big lover of NBA stats, also a big lover of movies. So since we are making this crossover episode today, he was a very logical choice for today. What's up, Jordan?
Oh, not too much. Thanks for having me.
How do you feel about the current Nuggets moment?
We've expected to see the last few years and just been unable to. And yeah, it's been not great teams and stuff, but they're doing what they need to do. And we're seeing all the right things from them, even in the games that aren't, as difficult as they might have been. So,
what is the goal for the Nuggets this season that needs to be achieved? Like, no excuse for not achieving it.
I mean, the no excuse goal should be a conference finals, but I think they should pretty much laser focus in on the title. Like, I think they're contenders, and I think that's where their focus needs to be at. So,
I'm trying to be pragmatic, so I'm not calling for the championship right now. First things first, I want to see them in the finals because that's something Nuggets never did in their NBA history. And when they get to the finals, let's just go guns blazing and see what happens. I really think West is not as good this year as it usually is. Or maybe that's not true. Maybe it's just the Nuggets that are so good. So this is why we feel that the West is kind of trashy. But yeah. So this week we've seen some historic stuff from Nikola Jokic. He mm-hmm. became the franchise leader in assists, total assists in his career. He overtook the first position from the legend Alex English. And we see him being on the path of conquering even more Nuggets franchise records as well. So for this first segment, I wanted to take a short trip through the Jokic stat fields and see our favorite Jokic stats. Mm-hmm. So, Jokic numbers, that's the name of the segment, and we will start with one of your favorite stats. So, 39 Sombor doubles. How do you feel about this number? Would you be more happy if it was a smaller number, or you don't care?
No, part of why I like it is just how little he ever like hunts for the stats. Like he just doesn't care, and so he's got a large number of the ones where he's just right off the end of it there. So
yeah, one thing I'm really sad about is that he doesn't have a somber double with points yet. He has a couple of games with 8 points and, you know, 10 plus, but no games with 9 points. So, Joker, come on, you can do it. We know you can do that for us. Okay, next stat for today. This is one for me. Highest career box plus minus in history. So, for the non-nerds, if there are any on this channel right now, box plus minus is a rate stat that accounts for everything that happens in the box score on offense and defense. And then it compares the player's numbers to the average number or the numbers of the average player for that season on the position of that player. But it's a pretty complicated thing. But one thing I really like about this one number stat, is the fact that if you look at the list of top 20 guys in box plus minus, there are no coincidences there. You only have the top level Hall of Famers over there. And right now, yes, Nikola is still on the upswing. He still needs to have his, late years of his career that might lower his career box plus minus. But right now, he is number one in front of Michael Jordan and LeBron James. Mm-hmm. How do you feel? I know you've been tracking this stat for a long time.
Yeah, and I mean, it's not a perfect stat. I mean, a lot of people say it's not as good as some of the other ones, but it's one of the only all-in-one stats that can go back far enough to even get historical comparisons. I think it's like right. 83, 84 or something like that. Or is it 73? I don't know.
73, something like that. Yeah.
Yeah. So, like, it's one of the only ones we can actually use to compare to old guys, and he just does in, like, every line there. I mean, he also had the highest single-season one last year, so.
Yes, and this one right now is number three all-time. Yep. So, yeah, he is slacking this season for sure.
Yeah.
Okay, next stat. This one is from you. Nearly 80% of his games over the last three seasons have a game score over 20. So can you give me more context?
Yeah.
Like, what does the game score over 20 means? How many of Nuggets other players scores game score over 20, and often?
Not too many Nuggets do it a lot. Game score is another kind of all-in-one metric for a single game. It's similar to PER in that it's kind of designed to mimic what you would expect from like scoring output. So like over 20 is going to be pretty good. And part of why I like this stat that like almost 80% of his games have been over that number is just the sheer consistency of it. I actually looked at some of the other stars, and like guys like Giannis and Embiid have like 70%. Like it's just a huge gap of like he's just so consistently doing this night in, night out. So
he has been a metronome, especially in the last three seasons. But even before that, we've seen a lot of consistency from him. Okay, next one. Including this season, he is the only player in the NBA history with three seasons with box plus minus over 12. Michael Jordan is the only player with two. So I'm back to the box plus minus because I love it so much. And I know it's not perfect. But the thing about this is, it's just, if you look at the tables for the box plus minus, everything above 8 is an MVP level season. Mm-hmm. Everything above 10 is an all-time MVP season. Like, there's not more than, I don't know by heart, but probably like 10, 12 seasons ever with over 10. And he already has three of them above 12, which is just insanity. I know that box plus minus had a they've reformed their stat like 5 years ago because of Russell Westbrook, because Russell Westbrook was breaking it down. So they've accounted the efficiency more, I guess, after that. So Russell is no more so high on the box plus minus, I believe. So I'm guessing that at some point they will have to try and modify the box plus minus again. I just don't know what they can do to lower his numbers, to be honest.
Yeah, it's hard. I think there's a lot of weight behind like rebounds, and they weight assists more for big men. So some of that I think plays into him being so high on them. But
yeah, maybe just put everybody on the same level, forbid positions, just like interpret the same for everybody. Maybe that will be a bit better for the other guys. Next one, highest true shooting for a 20 points per game scorer in NBA history. So is this for this season? For this season, yeah. Okay.
And it's like not close. I think Steph's unanimous MVP year was the next closest, and it's like 2 percentage points lower, 2 or 3. Yeah. So like it's not close. He's just having one of the most efficient scoring seasons we've ever seen.
Just to be clear, that Steph's season, unanimous MVP season, was insane. Yeah. Like efficiency wise, it was never something similar was seen before that season, and now he is like 2 percentage points over that, which is as insanity. It's not fair. It's really not fair. But that's what you get with Nikola Jokic, night in, night out. Next one, he is on pace to be the first guy ever to average 20, 10, and 8 on 60% from the field. And he is actually almost at 25, 11, and almost 10 on 62%. And this is shout out to Patrick Rasmussen, because this is his stat. This is something he's been showing on Twitter a lot lately. So you see the jump over all of these numbers. That is just crazy.
Yeah. Yeah, that's what's remarkable is he's basically averaging a triple-double on, like, the greatest efficiency ever.
You know, before the season, I said there's no way he's getting the third MVP. He would need to average, like, a 25-point triple-double on 70% true shooting, and the Nuggets would need to be number one seed. You know what? Everything happened.
Yeah, and I mean, I heard people say that, and I'm like, yeah, but why couldn't he do that? Like, it's...
Oh my god! This is just drunk. This is just drunk. Next one. So your favorite stat: fastest triple double in the NBA history. I remember this game. It was back in 2017, right?
I think so. It was against the Bucks.
Yeah, but... yeah, in Milwaukee, and I remember this game because it was maybe not the first one, but one of the first his games I watched live. Oh, nice. And when I did that game, and I remember I recorded the game right after it happened, so I still have it on my computer, that's when I said, I'm watching this guy live every time. And I actually had a streak from 2017 all the way to the new years of 2021. That's when I got COVID and I got, you know, in love with sleeping. So this is when I stopped doing it every night. But yeah, that... You're watching history. You understand you're watching history. It's just the matter of when it will happen. It was like, what, 14 and a half minutes of gameplay, right?
Yeah, something like that. Pretty close to that. And I like this because I don't know if you've seen it, but there's a documentary out about Jim Tucker, the guy whose record he broke, called Let Him Know You're There. And basically in that, it was just kind of cool because he was kind of another unknown player. So like when Jokic got this record, it was not huge news. Everyone's like, oh, well, it's a relatively, you know, unknown guy breaking a record of a relatively unknown guy. Like who really cares? And now looking back on it, it was like clearly a signifier of what was to come. So,
yeah. Poor Thon Maker, man. I felt bad for him. It was really sad. Okay, next one. Okay, this is my assist, my stat. So, his net 10 APG is at minus 5 with 36 games left in the season. So net 10 APG is a stat I made up. It's just a name I made for something that many Nuggets fans are tracking for some time now. That means that Nikola Jokic needs to average 10 assists per game for the rest of the season, plus those 5 assists he's still lacking, to have even 10 assists for the game, and, you know, consequentially the triple-double season we are all waiting for. I think there is some rounding up there as well, so maybe he doesn't need to hit all 5 of those. Maybe with 3 he'll already get to above 9.95, and that should be rounded to 10. Yeah. But I want the real thing. I want the real deal. I don't care about those mathematic help for Nikola.
Did you want to round down?
Did you really expect this would happen ever?
I mean, I thought it was possible just based on the talent he's got around him and like his ability to find guys. But like expecting it is hard to say. Like, I mean, only 2 people have ever done it. Like, it's not exactly something you can expect.
I'm gonna fire a super hot take right now. I think he'll get it this season. He'll get it, average the triple double, and for next season, listen to this. I think he will lead the league in assists per game, so he'll need to go above 11 to do that. Probably. I mean, You never know how crazy another guy can be in a season, but it's not impossible.
Only guy ahead of him is Halliburton, and he's missing a bunch of games. He might drop off the board just because he doesn't have enough games to qualify.
Oh, that wouldn't be fair. I would hate that. I really want Halley to come back.
I think he'll be back soon. So.
I'll be happy with the most total assists. That's something Wilt already have done in his 8.5 assist season. He had the most assists in that game total. Mm-hmm. Okay, next one. He is the only, and this is one from you. He is the only person with career playoff averages of 25. 10 rebounds and 6 assists per game. That's pretty good, right?
Yeah, it's pretty good because, if you drop that to 20, 10, and 5, it's just Larry and Giannis that join him. So it's pretty good company to have there.
Insanity. And then we have to hear those analysts that say he's not proven in playoffs.
Yeah,
so that's why I brought this one down. Okay,
we
have some more. So he recorded more triple doubles than the previous year for each season in the NBA league. So he started with 0. Of course, he was starting off the bench in his rookie season. Then he got 6, then 12, then 13, 16, 19 last season. And this season, he is on pace to get to 24, 25. And you know what? That's if you count all of the games, but if you count the last 2 months, he's probably on the pace to hit the 30-31.
Yeah.
What do you think?
Yeah, I was
31 is Wilt. Wilt's record is 31.
And I mean,
I'm really interested in that one.
Like now that the other guys are kind of hitting their strides, it's been easier to get them because the assists because they're just hitting shots. So
yeah, having a couple of guys in your starting 5 that hit 50% of their 3-point shots, that's pretty good for your assist totals. And you can imagine the number of points produced he has because there are so many threes among all of those assists. It's not like multiply by 2 and you get the points produced. Insanity. Although Aaron Gordon is dropping that number a bit because he's just dunking everything. But what you gonna do? I guess his 70% from 2-point range is pretty good as well.
It's all right.
Okay. And I think this is the last one. Jokic has 18 total 30-point triple-doubles, one more than both Magic and Bird. Now, that's pretty cool, right?
Yeah, he's still got some catching up to do, and Luka's already passed him because Luka's a little wild. But, it's pretty wild what he's been able to do, especially this year. Was he already got 6, I think?
Crazy. Okay. We are now finished with the nerdy stuff for today, and now we are moving to an even nerdier thing, and this is comparing Nuggets to movie characters, and this is why we are joined by one of my favorite follows on Nuggets Twitter, Kyle Simonson, or Simonson. Did I say it right?
You got it right, Simonson. Yep.
Simonson. Yeah. I thought so. How are you doing, Kyle?
I'm doing great. Thanks for having me on. This is an opportunity to talk about the intersection between Nuggets and movies is like a dream come true for me. So thrilled to hop on and talk with y'all. Although I was listening to you talk about the statistics and, you know, I'm a English professor, so I'm supposed to be scared of statistics. And if I can figure these statistics out, I don't understand why analysts and fans of other teams can't figure them out. None of that was scary to me. So if I can handle it, feels like everyone else should be able to too. So
yeah, it's probably good for you that you're not from Philly. So because in that case you probably couldn't figure it out, but you're on the Midwest, so that's cool, I guess. Can you tell me a bit about yourself? Because I don't think we've seen you before on the DNBA shows. So
no.
What are your Nuggets fanhood look like when it started?
Yeah, so I live in Wahoo, Nebraska, which is a, you know, important city in film history. It's where Darryl F. Zanuck was born, who's one of the most important producers in Hollywood history. So, but I grew up in Denver. My childhood was spent in all the suburbs anyway, in Westminster and Aurora and Arvada, and I moved around a lot. But so anyway, that's when I became a Nuggets fan. You know, my first favorite player was Mahmoud Abdul-Rauf. And, you know, that was my childhood. And so, like Jordan, I think my fandom, I think, increased when the Nuggets drafted Carmelo Anthony in 2002. It's the same year I graduated from high school. So that was a time in my life where I watched a lot of basketball. And since then, I don't think I've missed a lot of games. So diehard Nuggets fan, I try to make a trip out to Denver to come to a couple games at least once a year or so. And just been a fan for a long time, so I've subjected my wife and my kids to a lot of Nuggets games. So,
so what is your favorite era? Because we tend to, you know, romanticize the eras when we were younger. So, you know, I don't know. Does it account into it?
You know, I said last night after that Pacers game, and part of it was probably just the high of such a great victory, but I said last night that I think we're living through the best era. I mean, I think this is the best Nuggets team of my lifetime. And so I think we're living through the best era. And I think sometimes it's easy to get caught up in, you know, I don't know, arguing with fans of other teams or being nervous about trade season or whatever the case might be. But I hope people take a step back and realize that we're living through the best time to be a Nuggets fan. It's never been better than this, I don't think. So, you know, the Western Conference Finals team in 2009 is, of course, near and dear to my heart. That 94-95 run was pretty special, but I was pretty little then. You know, I was pretty young. So this is, I think we're living through the best time right now.
Mm-hmm. I'm really glad to hear that you are now in Nebraska, because I was afraid Voya is just going to murder me because I'm doing a movie episode without him, because he's a huge movie buff as well. So now that we have a dedicated Nebraskan here, that's probably going to slide.
I thought, Jordan, that might have been the thing. You have to have at least one Nebraskan on every episode of Serbian Corner. So I'm glad I could fill in for Voya since he couldn't be here. So
just to balance it out. Jordan, tell me,
that's right.
what are your favorite movies? What kind of movies do you enjoy watching the most?
I mean, I watch anything, and that's pretty predictive. And like my favorite movies, like I always say, Inglourious Basterds is one of my favorites. And then I've got an old Japanese samurai movie, Harakiri, is one of my favorites. And then Her, that's a couple years ago, that had Joaquin Phoenix in it. It's up there as well for me. So pretty eclectic selection.
How about you, Kyle?
Yeah, same. I like everything. You know, I like popular film. I like the classics. I don't think I'm exclusionary of any particular genre or style or era. I kind of like it all. Part of it is just I like finding that beauty within a different genre, within a different era, or whatever the case might be. So, you know, you can see Alex, There Will Be Blood, and a Colorado Avalanche crossover poster in the frame behind me there. That's one of my favorites, PTA's There Will Be Blood. It's a movie I really like. So that's one of my favorite. I like everything from, you know, I'm a big David Lynch fan, so I like his movies. to stoner comedies like Dazed and Confused is in my top four on Letterboxd. So I like everything. I like it all.
Yeah, it's interesting because my taste in movies changed over time, like throughout my different parts of my life. I am 43 now. God, I almost said 42. That would be a huge lie. So when I was like between 25 and 30 years old, I was like a lot into the art film. So I was like, I don't want to see any of those disgusting blockbusters, those just money machines of movies. But then I realized when I turned 30, and that coincided with the first Avenger, with Captain America, I went to the cinema and I was like, man, this is fun. So there's nothing wrong with this. I mean, I know I'll probably never watch this movie again, but I don't care. I had fun and I'll do it again. And I watched all of the Marvel stuff and I watched all of the DC stuff and everything in between, you know, Star Wars, whatever. So yeah, basically I'm now 43. I don't have enough time to watch as many movies as I would like to. But yeah, definitely just send anything my way and I'll see what I can do about it. Okay, so let's now move into the more specific Nuggets related conversation. So I will give you my blockbuster Nuggets and you can trash my choices, and then you can also give me your opinions, who would be the better fit. Okay, so let's start with DeAndre Jordan. Actually, I started making this list like I think it was like 6 weeks ago or something like that, and DeAndre was number 10 on that list. But yeah, he kind of dropped since. So DeAndre Jordan. Oh, I have some stuff to say about it written down. Okay, so my comp for him is Perrier Lapadite in Inglourious Basterds. So if you remember the first opening scene of the Inglourious Basterds, it's a big, strong French guy, very handsome, and you're expecting him to, you know, demolish the fascists that enter his home and save the Jewish family he's hiding in his cellar. But instead, he was completely useless, and he just like DeAndre Jordan, he could not stop the downhill running fast guards from the opposition. What do you think about my comp, and what would be the better one?
Oh man, DeAndre out here just catching strays. Rough for DeAndre.
I got a better one for him, but
yeah, let's do it.
Yeah, at least a little more I don't know, friendly, I think, to him. I got him as a Fezzik from The Princess Bride. Mm-hmm. It's really just there to be a big body, but ultimately it's his charm and personality that win you over.
That's a great one. I had the hardest time with DeAndre. I thought he was one of the toughest guys to find a comp for, but I love that one. That, yeah, someone who looks one way on the exterior, and you'd think that his physical presence is the thing that is valuable to the team, but really it's actually who he is. It's his character. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that makes sense. I was looking for someone with some superstitions when I was trying to make a comp, because I think about it as he has that routine where every game he opens his little candy tackle box and distributes some candy to kids at the game. And I was thinking about, you know, that's a thing of, we didn't talk about this, but that's a thing in sports film that, you know, they always capture these routines, these superstitions that players have in it. It made me think about Crash Davis from the baseball film Bull Durham was the comp that came to mind for me. A kind of an older guy who's serving as a mentor, which is kind of the role that DeAndre is in on this team. He's got to coach the other guys on the team up a little bit and hopefully dispense some wisdom maybe to them. But is really really kind of a vibes guy too. So
I think that DeAndre Jordan's story this season is one of like top five, my top five favorite Nugget stories, because at the moment they've signed him, like 3 seconds into the free agency, I was so mad. I was like, what the F? Like you could have literally signed anybody else. Like you could have signed like five different guys from the ABA Adriatic League in Serbia to play instead of him. You know what? He bought me over. I really like him. That's the first thing. Of course, I tend to like the Nuggets players anyway, but I kind of think they don't need an upgrade over him for these playoffs. Now that we can feel more confident in Zeke Nnaji as his alternative, as a backup big. What do you think, guys?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree. He's got that veteran savvy. I think that that counts for a lot come playoff time.
And just the fun. Like, he definitely makes, I think he makes the locker room better for being there. And I think that's why they signed him so quick, because they knew that was a guy they wanted. So,
for sure.
They definitely wanted him. Okay, next one. Jeff Green at number 11. He was higher here as well a couple of months ago. So he is old. He is very laid back. But don't you forget it. He is dangerous as anybody when his help is needed. So his perfect comp for me is Walt Kowalski from Gran Torino. How do you feel about this one, guys?
Get off my lawn. That's pretty good. That's a pretty good comp for Uncle Jeff, I think.
Jeff's never struck me as quite as grumpy as Walt is.
That's true.
Yeah, but yeah, certainly the elder statesman of the team.
I hope he's not watching this, by the way.
One I had for him was Tom Hagen from The Godfather, because he's never been like a star, but he's always been right next to all the stars and kind of been the consigliere for a lot of superstars throughout his time in the NBA. So
I like that comp, I really do, and it's more flattering than what I did. So yeah, let's go with that one. Okay,
in Lethal Weapon, I thought about Danny Glover's Murtaugh character. I'm getting too old for this shit. I have to imagine that's how Jeff Green feels some nights. So yeah. But yeah, he gets up there and throws it down every night. So
yeah, for sure. That's a good one too.
He's amazing. I love that guy. I really hope he'll stay good enough to stay on the Nuggets for like a couple of more seasons and find his home in Denver, really.
Yeah, okay, good to see him healthy and back in the game last night.
Next guy, Christian Braun. Right now, he's not really in the rotation. He's kind of the outside looking in. But Christian Braun, he's blonde, and nobody outside Denver or Kansas knows his name. So he is a perfect blondie, aka the man with no name from The Good, the Bad, and the Ugly. What do you think about this, guys?
Yeah, it's not bad. It's the kind of quiet confidence too you get from the man with no name. That's not bad.
It's not good either, right?
Eastwood's a badass in those movies, and Christian Braun's been a badass when he's been on the court. So I like that comp.
So how many of your comps are just Clint Eastwood? That's the real question.
I'm gonna have to. Honestly, some of the list I haven't seen for a month, so I'm kind of surprised as well. So this is what you get when you prepare some shows, before you actually air them. Okay, next one, Zeke Nnaji. Okay, so we've had a tweet from our guy. Jesus, I'm blacking out. Who said that he's been waiting for 84 years to get the news? Episode of Serbian Corner, because we didn't have one last week. So Zeke Nnaji is actually old Rose from Titanic, because he was waiting for three seasons to finally get his real opportunity to play, and now he's got to see it, and I guess he is happy now, just like the old Rose was at the end of the movie, right?
Yeah, I couldn't come up with one for him, so that's a good one, I think.
I didn't think anyone else could be more upset about their comps than DeAndre Jordan and Jeff Green, but I think Zeke might be even more mad.
Yeah, that's fair. That's fair. So we don't have a better one. Shall we move on?
I thought Zeke was a hard one too, and I think part of that's because he's like an extra. He doesn't get enough screen time. He's like, you know, the Rewatchables podcast has that concept in a movie of that guy. It's a guy who you see in films a lot, but you don't really know the actor's name. I think that's kind of Zeke that we, mm-hmm. you know, with between injuries and rotations and everything, that we just haven't really got to see him. And so I'm glad that he's been on the court a little bit more lately, and it seems like he's been making the most of his minutes. So
good. Let's move on. At number 8, Vlatko Čantar. Let me see where my notes are. Okay, so for Vlatko, I have to make an exception. I didn't pick a movie character, but a TV show one. Mm-hmm. Because Vlatko is extremely low profile, he never raises his voice. Well, I guess unless he shouts at Nikola that he sucks, so he would wake the beast inside of him sometimes. But even with that willingness to be in the background, he is supremely effective and always have the right move to make. Of course, Vlatko is Mike Ehrmantraut from Better Call Saul.
Actually, yeah, that's great.
Yeah, that's a flattering comparison. Now we're talking. I don't think Vlatko is going to be mad about that one. I think he'd be pretty happy about that.
Yeah. It's just that all of my comps are super old people, so I don't know about that one. Maybe I'm just an old soul, so maybe that's the reason I'm just migrating towards my kind, I guess. Do we have a better comp for Vlatko?
He was a tough one for me, too, so I didn't really come up with much.
Yeah, same. I had the hardest time with Vlatko, too. And I think it's maybe because he hasn't always been a consistent part of the rotation. We don't feel like we know him as well as some of the other players. But he has been extremely capable in the time that he's been on the court. So I think Mike's a good comp for him.
Okay. Moving on. Bones Highland. Okay. He may look like a skinny Steve Rogers in Captain America, the First Avenger, but when his first super deep three rips the nylon, he turns into a real life Captain America.
All right. I get that one. See, I went more for personality with my comp, but what was yours, Kyle? I'll go back to mine.
Well, I went with a different Avenger. I thought he was kind of a little bit more like Miles Morales, Spider-Man. You know, kind of, confident, but capable, athletic. That was the one that came to mind for me if I was going to make a superhero comp. But I also rewatched The Hustler this week. And he kind of reminded me a little bit of Fast Eddie Felsen, you know, confident, cocky, willing to take on the best, not afraid of the moment, not afraid to show up to the big game, even if sometimes, especially lately, it doesn't always work out the best. But he is determined, comes back for more. So you got a little Fast Eddie in him, too, I think.
Yeah. And I went just based on personality and that he just like oozes joy. I went with Charlie Bucket from Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory.
Okay.
So this guy just like that. Just pure joy. Like it's hard to be sad when Bones is out there on the court. So
yes, excellent vibes for sure.
At least if not anything else, he is the first guy he got a young person comp. Yep. So we are making progress. Young, so. I guess. We are making progress. Okay.
And we went even younger than you did. So yeah, we went really young for him. So that was good.
Yeah. Before we move to Bruce Brown, who is in my mind a sixth starter on the Nuggets. Let's take a short break. Okay, we are back. So, Bruce Brown, let me see my notes. So, he came to the Nuggets as a 6'4 positionless player. In these first 40-something games, he has started at the 1, started at the 2, at the 3, played from the bench covering almost all of the positions. So, my comp for him will be the giant man from Captain America Civil War. So he just scales up as much as he needs to fill a certain role. What do you think about this, guys?
All right. It's not a bad one. And I actually went with another Avenger as well. So I'm saying step aside, Donovan Mitchell. I'm saying Bruce Brown, Spider-Man, you know. Friendly neighborhood Spider-Man, takes care of the little things, but every now and then he's got to go to space and save the universe, you know?
That's really good. That's really good.
I was thinking about Bruce as, you know, you guys, I'm sure, know this, have heard this, that Bruce Brown is a big country music guy. So I tried to look for a Western comp. They had me thinking about Westerns, and I kind of thought he's got a little bit of Doc Holliday in him from Tombstone, maybe. He's got a little, I don't know if you guys saw The Harder They Fall, the Western that came out last year, but the main character is played by Jonathan Majors. His name is Nat Love, and Bruce is a cool character, and Bruce Brown kind of gave me those vibes a little bit too. You know, the other one I thought of though is I was thinking about how he managed to get out of town right before all the Brooklyn Nets drama really went to the next level, and I thought maybe we should make him the fugitive. Maybe he's Richard Kimball, just on the run from all the drama in Brooklyn. So
I just wish I had no idea what the CBA is, so I wouldn't understand the dangers of losing Bruce Brown next season. But the Bruce experience so far was so great. I'm so happy the Nuggets were able to pull off his signing. Okay, at number five, interestingly enough, Aaron Gordon. I'm surprised he's not at number two for me, but I guess I messed up this this PowerPoint presentation this time. So Aaron Gordon, this is a fun one. Hidden behind the rugged appearance of a super athlete, he is the relentless student of the game and a guy working in the lab to improve his performance, most of all in the team concept. This is why my comp for him is Dr. Wesley McLaren. Do you know who that is? You probably don't. Because he is a character from the movie Patriot, played by the Serbian national Steven Seagal. A respected doctor must find the cure for the deadly virus unleashed by a paramilitary militia leader. While doing so, he also breaks a few dozen necks while displaying a variety of Aikido moves. So Steven Seagal is Dr. First of all, he is a scientist. Steven Seagal. I love this so much, guys.
I think you've managed to name one of the few Steven Seagal movies I have not seen. I don't think I've seen this one, but I'm very curious how Aaron Gordon would feel about this comparison.
For some reason, people in Serbia really love Steven Seagal. This year for the New Year's, and that's like the most important time slot in the whole year in Serbia. So we've had like six Steven Seagal movies all at once in one of the biggest networks in Serbia. So yeah, interesting. And he really is a Serbian national. For some reason, he just took the Serbian passport several years ago. I have no idea why. But yeah, there you have it. Do you have a better comp? I hope you have a better comp for Aaron Gordon.
Go ahead, Kyle, if you got something for him.
Well, I saw Patrick Rasmussen again in the comments dropped Hulk, and I think that's a good comparison. He's physically dominating, imposing. I kind of thought maybe I was thinking about Guardians of the Galaxy, too. I thought he's got a little bit of Drax in him, too.
Oh, yeah.
Physically imposing guy, but also pretty funny. Kind of a comedian too, and always makes us laugh. And sometimes he just feels like Godzilla to me, you know, larger than life, down in that post, a monster just taking over. I'm not sure that any other player on the team brings me as much joy to watch play than Aaron Gordon has. And I think Landry Shamet would compare him to Godzilla. For sure.
I had one thought was Frank the Tank from Old School, Will Ferrell's character. Because, like, in the beginning of the movie, he's, like, a buttoned-up family man, and then as things go along, he just completely, like unleashes this wild side to him, and you need that a little bit from Aaron Gordon. He does the little stuff now for us, but every now and then, he just breaks out Frank the Tank and, you know, might be streaking through the quad or whatever by the end of it, so.
I love Will Ferrell. I know a lot of people hate Will Ferrell because, you know, he is, like, super awkward, or I don't know how to describe his comedy. But one thing I think about him is he really likes to wear costumes. Like when you see the variety of his movies, he's been the ice skating star, the rally driver. I mean, where does it end? the Euro Song Contest. That one I really like. It's just you need to like it to love it, I guess. I guess, yeah. Okay, moving on. At number four, Kenny P. Now this is interesting. I actually call him Kenny P Dog now. Kenny P is kind of strange to me, but okay. Kentavious Caldwell-Pope. You cannot see him on the court. He is not taking any ISOs. He's not dribbling. He's not even advancing the ball, but he sees you. And when the time is right, he'll take the spine out of you and hang you from the tree after hitting five consecutive threes from all positions. And of course, he is Predator.
All right.
Although I like the beeper more. Have you seen the low post with KCP?
Yeah, I saw that. He was on the Low Post podcast this weekend, and Zach Lowe asked him about his nickname. Said, "Yeah, he said his nickname is the beeper." That made me wonder if his film comparison is an R2-D2. if he's the beeper, and R2-D2 about the best sidekick you could ask for. And I think that's what KCP has been this year. He has been the ideal sidekick for Nikola Jokic, I think, and out there on the court in that starting lineup. He's been great in the stagger lineup too. So wherever you need him, he's just kind of. He kind of fills in. So, yeah, but when he said that, he was the beeper. That all I could think of was R2-D2. Yeah. So.
And I'm actually going back to Avengers, the most underrated Avenger here, Agent Coulson. He's just the perfect connecting tissue to all the stars.
Didn't he die in one of the movies?
Yeah, but they brought him back for that TV show, so it's all good.
I'm so impressed with his basketball IQ, and I actually have a take that much more NBA players have the high basketball IQ than we think. I mean, many NBA players have high basketball IQ. It's just the fact that are they willing to buy in and do the right stuff, not to be the stat patterns, but to actually play the game of basketball. And KCP has been doing that. I'm so happy they've extended him right after they've traded for him, because now they would have to give him more money. I mean, it's not fair to KCP, I guess, but it's just a problem of us trying to beat the GMs as well while watching the game. I actually hate that part about me, but I cannot help it.
Well,
so,
I think he wants a championship, though. He's locked in. I think he's at the point in his career where that the winning matters most to him.
There's no doubt in that. I just meant they would need to offer him more than like what he got, like 15, 16 million for next two seasons. So, yeah.
I mean, I think him shooting 48% from three is why he picked to stay in Denver here. So,
I mean, when you see the Duncan Robinson contract for a guy that shot as well, but didn't do anything else really, especially on defense, and you see the monster that KCP is just crazy. I love this guy as well. Do we have any more comps, or are we happy?
I think that was them. Yeah.
Okay. Next guy, Michael Porter Jr. So people were laughing at him because he couldn't dribble. He was losing the ball on most fast breaks. He didn't know where to stand, neither on offense nor defense. They've deemed his medical reports as the worst in league history. Yet he has blossomed from the ugly duckling to the beautiful swan. I just love his attitude this season. He really is a beautiful swan this season for me. I know he's been good before as well, but honestly, I don't think he's been ever playing as good as he is right now. What do you think, guys?
Yeah, I mean, he's been playing great because he's doing more than just the shooting and the finding his own shot. Like, he's active at all times, it seems. So,
yeah, my comp for MPJ was Chris Kyle from American Sniper. That's been MPJ, especially at the start of the season. He was the sniper, man. He couldn't miss a shot. And lately, it's been less that, and it's been more him doing a little bit of everything, like you said, and that's been so great to see. It's been great to see his athleticism come back a bit over the past few games. He was throwing dunks down last night against Indiana, and we've seen that a little bit more over the past few games. So That was the comparison I came up with for him. He's the sniper, I think.
And I moved over to DC, and I say Batman for him. Bit of a loner, kind of wants to do his own thing, but has to learn to work as a team. And ultimately, you know, dramatic recovery from back injury, you know.
You know what?
I like that one.
Maybe he is Superman because he needed to go to his, you know, Tower of Solace to figure out some stuff and come back and become Superman, right?
Mm-hmm.
We're making progress. We're making progress. Yeah. Much better than Ugly Duckling.
I just like that we have the range of everything from the range on this one from Ugly Duckling to Batman to Sniper is pretty impressive.
Yeah.
that's what you get. Okay, number two, Jamal Murray. He was injured bad. He had to spend way too many days in bed, recovering from surgery, went through a horribly hard recovery and performed endless strength exercises. Now he's back and his revenge will be sweet and horrifying. This is why he is the bride from Kill Bill Volume 1. Or Volume 2, actually, as well. It's the same bride.
All right.
Did I push too hard this one?
No, I like that. Getting his revenge. I like that. I hope that's the attitude that Jamal brings to the rest of this season. That would be perfect.
Yep.
Do we have something better or worse?
Well, I've actually made this comp for years just because he doesn't seem to let pain stop him, so I call him the Black Knight from Monty Python and the Holy Grail.
Oh yeah, that's good. That's really good.
Like it seems like it encourages him to go harder if he gets hurt or twists an ankle or something like that. So
just a flesh wound. That's
all. Just
it
a
is.
Flesh wound. Yep.
Just a flesh wound. I love that. That's perfect.
Yeah, my favorite Monty Python movie is The Life of Brian, but I adore the Holy Grail as well. Yes. Okay. Number one. Oh, okay. So I already made it clear. Well, so this is the reason. Nikola Jokic, his stables are his sanctuary. He wants to spend the rest of his career there, but there's the annoying obligation to his club to return and play basketball every season. This is why he is the Luke Skywalker from Star Wars, The Last Jedi. I just didn't figure out who is the Rey here that's calling to him every year to come back.
It's probably Vlatko, right?
maybe it's Vlatko. Maybe it's just Augie Stojakovic. It's just he needs to be annoying. Come on, man! You're the MVP. You need to play.
Yeah,
I'm not sure we've needed that person yet, but we might need him in the future. We might need a Ray at some point in the future. That's for sure.
Yeah, like guys, I already won the 3 championships. What more do you want from me? Like, let me just brush my horses. What else do we have here?
Well, I think Hakeem Olajuwon told us who the comp is for Nikola Jokic. I think it's the one. It's Neo from the Matrix. Jokic is the one. We all know it. We've known it here in Denver for a long time. Now everyone else knows it too. So including Hakeem Olajuwon. So Hakeem told you who Jokic's comp is. It's Neo from the Matrix movies. He's the one, man. He seems to bend space and time on those passes and those rainbow shots and those Sambor shuffles. The laws of physics don't seem to apply to him. He makes it all happen. So I think that's the comp.
See, I went a different way. I didn't do a leading man like action star because it just doesn't feel like Jokic. Like, as great as he is, like, his skills are up there with the best of them, but, like, he's never going to get that kind of recognition, like, mainstream.
Sure.
So I went to the Harry Potter franchise, but not to Harry Potter himself. I've got him as Neville Longbottom. Just the character arc of the chubby, awkward kid growing into, like, this ultimately a pretty major hero by the last film, so...
Right, they keep leading SportsCenter with LeBron, but then at the end, the number one play, Jokic. So yeah, I think that's a good comparison.
Yeah, I mean he's the one who takes out the last Horcrux in the final movie. So you know,
that's right.
That's pretty good. That's pretty good. Okay, for the end, Michael Malone.
Oh,
prove yourself worthy, and he will do everything for you. But if you're not in his circle of trust, he's going to have an eye on you, so you better make sure you make no mistakes. This is why he is Jack Burns from Meet the Parents. He kind of looks like him, right?
I think that might be the biggest compliment you've given anyone is that Malone looks like Robert De Niro. So yeah.
He's a handsome guy. Come on, guys. I really don't think so.
I like that. I didn't think of Malone. I didn't really think about him. You know, I was thinking about all the mentors and the things that you've mentioned, and Malone's different than all of them. You know, he's not a Yoda type. He's not really an Obi-Wan type. He's not Pai Mei. He's a different kind of mentor than the mentor we've talked about in the other film. So
I got an idea for him, actually, just off the top of my head here. He's not far off a little bit of a Mr. Miyagi. He's gonna be a little hard on you, and he's gonna make you put in the work. But like ultimately, he's gonna care, and he's gonna stand in with you. You know. So, but I mean, that's off the cuff, man. I didn't think about Malone at all either. So
that's a good one. He's a good healthy mentor. I think that's right. I think not quite as much mystery to Michael Malone as there is to Mr. Miyagi. But I think you're right.
That's true. That's true. We know who he is, where he came from, and we know his history as well. So that's just the life of an NBA head coach, I guess. So I think we've covered everything. I mean, we didn't do like Calvin Booth. I don't know. I didn't think about him. Maybe we should save the whole front office for the next time we get around. just like for the super nerdy crowd, like people that actually knows, you know, who Ogi Stojakovic is or who Rafael Žuk is or whatever. So before I let you go, do you have any parting thoughts, maybe some expectations? We didn't hear from you, Kyle, about your expectation from this season. What is the minimum you expect from the Nuggets to say, okay, this season went well?
You know, I don't think that any team is good enough in the NBA. I think there's too much parity in the NBA. Too many teams are good enough to ever expect a championship. But I definitely think that that's the goal of the team. And again, they're playing as well as they ever have. So I guess I'd be pretty disappointed if they don't make the finals this year. That's kind of what I'm expecting. You know, that's been the peak for the Denver Nuggets before. And that's what I'm expecting this year. So. You know, you never know what's going to happen. You never know what's going to shake out. And, you know, the saying expectations are the thief of joy. So the more expectations you have, that opens yourself up to being disappointed. I just try to roll with it more than anything. I just try to take it as it comes. But, you know, being honest, I think I'd be disappointed if it were anything other than a finals appearance.
Yeah, like that Nicholas sophomore season, 2016, 2017, that was probably the most fun season we've had in this era. No expectations whatsoever. Just playing better every night, and you see something growing. Mm-hmm. And yeah. Last year was...
Especially coming out of the dark years before that, the Brian Shaw era, coming out of that was a rough time. That was a time where... I wasn't, you know, I don't like to miss a game. I don't like to skip a game. If I have to be out, I record it and watch it later. That was one of the time where it's like, maybe I'll skip this one, or maybe I will watch this one, because it was a tough time to watch games. So those good years coming out of that were nice.
What do the Nuggets need to do to relieve us from stress? It's probably championship, right? Nothing less than that will actually... release the stress at least for a couple of months before the next season starts, and then it's all over again, I guess.
Well, and it's just the legacy of it all. Like, this team's good enough to do it, and it's just a matter of they've got to prove it now. And I don't know. I just think they will. Like, I think they have the right pieces in place to do it. So,
yeah, stay healthy. I mean, I think that's it. And, you know, it's not really something you can control, but ultimately, I think that's going to be the determiner this season. I think that's the determiner for a lot of teams in terms of playoff success, and it's certainly been the determiner for our playoff success the past couple of years, and I think it will be this year too.
Oh, we have a comment from Patrick Rasmussen, who said that Josh Kroenke is Ed Norton's character in Glass Onion, and I need to watch Glass Onion right now because I haven't watched it yet.
So. Well, thank Elon Musk, and you're about there for the character. So,
okay, that kind of makes sense. Okay, before we let you enjoy this Saturday, it's Saturday, right? Please consider subscribing to the DNVR Sports YouTube channel and giving a thumbs up on the YouTube video. Or give a five-star review on the, for the DNVR Nuggets podcast on iTunes. It will help the channel grow even further. And for all the true fanatics that stuck with us all the way to this sentence, thank you for being awesome and go Nuggets.
Go Nuggets.